Good morning. Welcome back. This is the I Am Sorry About Last Night podcast. I am Tom, leader of the I Am Sorry About Last Night podcast. Part of the Social Podcast Network, www.socialpodcastnetwork.com. How's everybody doing? It is Tuesday. Tuesday, gray, foggy, cloudy, kind of rainy kind of day. And, you know, it's beautiful. I love it. I love these kind of days. We had this day on Sunday. It was a little much for some reason on Sunday. I was very, I don't know, I felt like, you know, when you have that kind of day, you're like, oh, great, I'm not going to do anything. It's a wash, right? I'm just going to relax all day. Ooh, hello. Well, I relaxed all day, and at the end of the day, I felt really sad. I don't know. I just, you know, those days where I don't do anything, I don't feel very good about myself. I feel like I could have done more, but really wasn't anything to do. It was raining. You know, it's kind of a, I don't know, whatever. It was over, moved on. But one of the things that I'm having challenges with, and this is all a product of being sober, is being a dad. I think that is a biggest challenge I have today right now is being a dad. And, you know, I have the three main important things in my life: sobriety, family, work, right? Sobriety, family, work. And all of these things I received because of sobriety. So I get sobriety because I work on sobriety. You know, there was a time when I was drinking. I was at a point where I was going to lose everything. My son David wasn't even one yet. I was struggling with alcohol, and my ex-wife had taken him. You know, and you know, it was a real turning point. And you know, for today at least, thank God, that I made that choice. I have no regrets. No regrets at all. In fact, I've said it out loud. I'm grateful I'm an alcoholic. At least I get to address this shit. Or at least I'm allowed to, or I get to, or whatever you want to call it. But if I want to do some work, the work is there to be done. And then what comes with sobriety, usually family. What's the first to go? What's the last thing to go? Family. Family sticks by you through thick and thin. We put them through hell, right? They're the last one to go and the first one to show back up. Actually, that's probably not even a fair statement. Everybody's situation's different. I know most people I know, the family is close by rooting for sobriety success. But the big thing that comes with sobriety is getting a job. You know, we become employable. The three main important things in my life are the three main pains in my ass. But I think that's what life is about. I'll say it. I've said it the suffer, the grind, the inconvenience creates a humility. And, you know, right now, my biggest challenge, I feel the thing that affects me the most in the day is wondering if I'm being a good enough father. And being a father is really, I mean, you can be everything to your kid, right? You can do everything, be there at every moment. Or you figure out what parts do they have to kind of figure out on their own. And you have to watch them kind of fail and you know, pull up their bootstraps and go for it again. And you hope that that process creates character. If I do everything for my kids, I'm creating characters. And I don't want to create a character. I want to create some kids with character. So trying to figure out where to, you know, pick and choose your battles. And, you know, my son David, he is doing so well that I'm like, what's going on here? You know, he's got a job. He's been working. I'm very proud of him. He's only 15. I mean, I had a job at 15, but, you know, he's doing well. We're just very proud of him. But, you know, he worked all summer, and then he told him he just wants a couple shifts on the weekends because he's, you know, he wants to be a kid. And I'm like, I get that. You can't, you know, you got. Part of me is like, you got to have a job. And then part of me is like, you don't really have to have a job. I don't know. I mean, there's your first, one of my big dilemmas. Should he have a job? I mean, you need to have a job, blah, blah, blah. The problem is he can only have a job on the weekends. And he feels like he's missing out on a lot of stuff with his friends right now. And I agree. And it's all taking place on the weekends. So he was, you know, his big challenge, he had a thing to do this weekend, and then he figured out that he was supposed to work. Now, the good side of this is he said, listen, I didn't plan this very well. I should have talked to my boss and let them know that I would need this day off. I forgot. I'm like, okay, figuring it out. He's right. He's learning some lessons. But then he's like, you know, I was hoping, because he was calling me and he's like, I think I screwed up, you know, and what he told me later is what he was hoping I would tell him would be maybe call and lie that you're sick so you could get out of work. I'm like, well, I can't do that. I go, who do you want to talk to, David? 16-year-old dad or 52-year-old dad? Because 16-year-old dad, yes, I might have said that. That may have been a suggestion. But 52-year-old dad's like, no, I know that doesn't work out. Here's what I think would be better. And what I thought would be better is you need to go to work. Sorry. Because I come from that, you know, that line where you can't quit your job until you have another job lined up. I must have heard that from my parents a fucking thousand times, right? I don't want to start spewing that to him. And really, he's just a kid, so I'm not sure that the phrase you can't quit your job unless you have another job lined up is appropriate for this situation. But what I did think was appropriate was, listen, you can't quit your job without giving notice, right? I mean, how many people out there learned the hard way about burning bridges? And burning bridges smolder for a long time. And, you know, if you're lucky, we get opportunities. We get second chances. But, you know, the less burning bridges in my life, the better. But the challenge for me, for being a dad, is, you know, if somebody had come up to me when I was 15 and said, listen, man, if you don't burn any bridges, your life's going to be great. I'd be like, I understand. I got it. But I didn't, and I burnt them, and I had to learn the hard way. So as a dad, I'm like trying to, and I'm telling my son this. I'm like, listen, I'm trying, you know, part of me wants to say, listen, this is what you shouldn't do. Don't do this, don't do this, don't do this, and avoid all these problems. But at the same time, I know that the best way to learn, what do I always say? Nothing changes lives like shame and guilt. And not showing up to work, getting fired, is one of the ultimate shame games. that's when you really take a hard look at what you're doing or where you're headed, and you address it. So my message to him was, listen, don't quit. I don't want to see you. You know, these people have been good to you, and you may want a job this summer again. So he agreed, and then what was cool, the cool thing about this was that my friend Tiffany, is my son's best friend. My son had stayed over at their house over the weekend, and this is where this was all figured out. Like, it was David and all of his little friends, they all spent the night over there. So they were all hanging out, and they're like, you just don't go in, or you call and lie. And David said to them, listen, I can't do that. I need to talk to my father first. Which I thought was really very cool. You know, I don't run my family with an iron fist. I run them with like a feather fist. It's pretty pathetic. But I feel like I have enough balance. They know what's right or wrong. I mean, the other night, my daughter, she ran around in a circle around the couch, jumping over an ottoman all night. And I'm just watching TV, watching her jump over this ottoman. Like, you know, you have to be cut out for this. I mean, and this is, you know, 15 years of being a parent and being patient and losing it and getting it back together, and then being patient and losing it and getting it back together, conversations. This is the place where I'm at, where I can sit there watching a TV show while my daughter, who's 8, runs around the couch jumping over an ottoman right in front of me. She thinks she's a horse. And I'm just like, whatever. Just watching TV, I'm cool with it. It's kind of become my normal. But, you know, it's tough. It is tough because, especially now. But it's always tough. Every day is tough. You know, my son's 15. He's going to be driving next year. My biggest challenge is I tend to bring my past and lay it over my son's life. Like, oh, well, I was smoking cigarettes in the woods at 14. Of course, he's got to be doing that. Or I was smoking pot at 15. Of course, he's got to be doing that. I may have just been a bit of a nut job. You know, David seems to be a little bit more normal. I mean, my addiction, like I said, it showed up the first time I can remember at a pizza party. Making sure I was going to get 2 pieces. Some people are like that. I was one of them. David's not really like that. The other ones, I'm not sure. You know, they're still small, but I don't know. People tell me, oh, you're doing such a great job. I'm like, I don't even know what the fuck I'm doing. So I always say, you say to your kids, are you happy? Yes. Well, then I'm doing a bad job. Are you happy? No. Too many rules. Well, then I'm doing a great job. So you have 2 extremes. Unhappy, no rule, or unhappy rules, very happy, lack rules. So you have to figure out where I can balance that in the middle. I mean, it's all balance. You know, if you're grind, you know, if you're constantly on your kid, you got to do this, you got to do this. Yes, ma'am. Yes, sir. You know, all, you know, so strict. It blows out somewhere else. It comes loose. And if you're like, well, I'm not going to be tough on these kids. Do what you want. Run the house. You know, freedom, trust, whatever. It's going to blow out somewhere else if that's the approach that you take as well. So it's trying to figure out that balance. You know, if you took a big ship and you covered the front of it with a bunch of shipping containers, the fucking ship's going to sink. It's balancing them all out. How do I balance, whether it's raising my kids, whether it's my job, whether it's my sobriety, doing podcasting, relationship with friends? It's always a balance. And when it gets out of balance, it blows out somewhere. Your partner gets upset. Your clients get unhappy. You know, you work too much. Your clients love you to death. Your wife's upset because you're never home. I mean, it is a challenge. And I think for me, when I'm out of balance, when I'm just about to flip, it's pretty uncomfortable. pretty uncomfortable. But I'm in it to win it. I want to keep trying. I'm grateful to be sober. I got up this morning. I haven't run in a bit. Got up this morning and there was that voice. You know, the voice last night was like, let's do it. Let's get up early. We're going to go for a run. We'll make coffee. We'll, you know, let's get it. That voice usually shows up in the evening. And then there's like that morning voice. I don't want to run. And I got up and I made coffee and I sat around. And one of the challenges is right now it's so dark in the morning. You know, we have to have the kids over at the school by 8. There's things I have to do in the morning. So if I'm going to run, I need to get it done early. And that usually is at 6. And in the summer, it's fine because it's light out. But right now, it's pitch black. And I'll run, like tomorrow, I'll probably run with the doctor. We'll run at 6 with headlamps. That's no big deal. But it's not a big deal if someone's showing up to run with me. But when I'm by myself, that voice comes in and I'm like, I don't know if I really feel like it today. But I did it. I ran. I worked through it. You know, and I sometimes did just for, it's so weird. Like every day, like yesterday, everything was pretty good. You know, everything's set. I feel good about most things. Go to bed, wake up, and I feel like everything's reset and I got to figure out, you know, I'm good. You know, everything's good. Business is good. You know. What was out of balance this morning? And what was out of balance this morning was I haven't really been exercising or running. So I needed to do it. And it's just like procrastinating on anything else, a bill, a payment, you know, a conversation. It doubles and triples in size. And, you know, this morning I felt like I hadn't run for a year. And I felt like if I didn't run, it wasn't going to be for a year that I ran again. I'm putting all these extreme feelings on a simple problem. And then I said, you know what, fine. I said, why don't I just try to run to the corner? If that's all I want to do, just run to the corner, then that'll be it. I ran to the corner and I just kept running. It was fine. But sometimes there are situations like that and I have to take them and break them down into smaller little goals. So I ran and I'm so thankful. It wasn't that hard. It was beautiful out. This is an amazing time of the year. All the leaves are changing. Where I run on this trail is like, it's like a tunnel. A tunnel of oak trees and maples and, you know, pine trees and sycamores and all these great color trees. And, you know, and it's vegetation up high, vegetation in the middle, and then the trail's covered with like golden leaves that have fallen off the trees. It's just a beautiful. It's like something you'd see on an Instagram picture. It's like, that's not real. It doesn't exist. It is real. And I ran it this morning. It was beautiful. And I ran 4 miles and I got back home and just, it's a great way for me to start my day. It's a great hour of suffering. Now I feel good. I've done some of my mental medication. Let's see what we can read today, folks. People are calling me. Oh, my God, these folks, what's going on? I did a podcast yesterday. It was kind of weird. I mean, it was a great podcast, great people. JFS, which is the Jewish Family Services of our area, and they help people that are struggling through whether it's addiction or depression or some sort of mental challenge. You know, they're there for people, and they also offer like yoga, and they're just a great organization just trying to help folks. And they wanted to come on we do the Rehoboth Social podcast, and they came on. And so, you know, most of my podcasts that I do are done in the studio, but they, you know, they have some elderly folks in their life, so they were a little more cautious, which is, you know, totally cool. So we did a Zoom call podcast. And those are annoying. I don't like them. But we did it, and it was fine. But we were waiting for Dr. Feinberg. It was me, Dr. Feinberg and what was her name? Crosby. I forget her first name, Miss Crosby or whatever. But her and I were chatting, and I go, hey, here's a question for you. Is it appropriate to say, like, at the end of this podcast, all right, you guys, I appreciate you coming on the podcast. You know, hopefully we can have you on again. Or is that offensive, you guys? Because it was a man and a woman. Because I've taken that for granted that that's okay. But I've taken a lot of things that for granted that I didn't pay attention to, which in turn turns out to be kind of subject, questionable. You know, a lot of that we learned in the, you know, Black Lives Matter and stuff. And, you know, I've always considered myself a pretty decent person. But I didn't really understand. So I'm trying to understand. And so the question to her was, if I say you guys, meaning you guys, but she's not, she's a woman and he's a man, is that offensive? And so we got into this conversation about it before Dr. Feinberg joined the call. And we decided that we wouldn't use that term, you guys, because she said, well, would you say you gals? And I wouldn't. How did we get stuck on you guys? How did that happen? How did someone let that happen? I don't know. But so I said, fine. How about you fine folks? Or I appreciate you folks coming on the podcast. And we decided that would be better. But all through the podcast, I kept saying, you guys, I mean, you folks, I mean, folks, it was a mess. And I don't know. It was weird. It was a little sloppy. I felt bad. I mean, what do you think? I guess it's fine if you're a guy. But if you're a woman, I mean, do we have to be... I mean, I'm not going to ask people to lower their standards or to expect what they expect from people. I'm not going to suggest that people change what they feel. So, actually, never mind. I'm not going to do that. I guess folks is better. We won't go there. We won't do the you guys anymore. It's not appropriate. All right, here we go. Let's see, daily reflections. Let's see what this has to say. What's today? Daily reflections. Here we go. Are you ready to reflect? All right. October the 27th, global sharing. Oh, okay. The only thing that matters is that he is an alcoholic who has found a key to sobriety. These legacies of suffering and of recovery are easily passed among alcoholics, one to the other. This is our gift from God, and its bestowal upon others like us in this one aim that today animates AA all around the globe. I'm going to try that again. I'm going to read that again. Here we go. The only thing that matters is that he is an alcoholic who has found a key to sobriety. These legacies of suffering and of recovery are easily passed among alcoholics. One of the other... Oh, are easily passed among alcoholics, one to the other. This is our gift from God, and it bestowal upon others like us in the one aim that today animates AA all around the globe. All right. The strength of Alcoholics Anonymous lies in the desire of each member and each group around the world to share with other alcoholics the suffering and the steps taken to gain and maintain recovery. By keeping a conscious contact with my higher power, I make sure that I always nurture my desire to help other alcoholics, thus ensuring the continuity of the wonderful fraternity of Alcoholics Anonymous. I should stop reading that. I swear I screw it up every time. I don't know. Our job as an alcoholic is to be there for the next alcoholic. Here, there, everywhere. That's a big deal to recognize and to figure out. I guess it's just a matter of how bad you want to be sober, or what degree of sobriety you want to have, or what degree of serenity, right? I mean, to be there for another person, to help when a hand is put out, to have your hand out to help the next alcoholic. I mean, it changes. It's like, you know, like I said, you know, yesterday I had it all figured out, and today it's all like a reset. You know, there's been times in my life that, I mean, I used to have the beeper. I used to be at a meeting every night. I was sponsoring. And as much as I understand everything that it takes pre, post, during getting sober, time takes time. And over time, I tend to start to forget. That urgency starts to leave me. Like, I haven't been to a physical meeting in a while. I shared on the last one I went to. I haven't been on a Zoom meeting. I mean, I literally am out there on my own. I am so lucky, though, that I've, you know, drank, changed my sobriety because of pills. I mean, I've exposed every shady side of my sobriety that there was. I mean, this is it. Today, drinking is not an option. Drugging is not an option. But it's the little things that start to fucking undermine me. I hope everyone's having a great day. Check out all our podcasts. Socialpodcastnetwork.com. It is it's a lot of fun. I hope everyone's hanging in there. And I'll talk to you later. Peace.